starts to bite.
Meeting of the Clinton Township Board of Education will now come to order. Time, Mr. Jeskowitz?
7:32.
Thank you. In accordance with the provisions of the New Jersey Open Public Meetings Act, Chapter 231, Laws of 1975, adequate notice of this meeting was provided through the annual public notice on January 8, 2015. Faxing to three newspapers designated by the board, the Hunterdon Democrat, Hunterdon Review, and Express Times. Posting on the district website, the main bulletin board, in the administrative office, and in each Clinton Township school. And finally, faxing to the clerk of Clinton Township. Mr. Jeskowitz, may we please have a roll call?
Mrs. Grant?
Here.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Here.
Mrs. Hand?
Here.
Mr. Malloy?
Here.
Mrs. McHugh?
Here.
Mr. McTiernan?
Present.
Mr. Petuto?
Here.
Mr. Sturgis?
Here.
Mrs. Vanderhoff?
Here.
Thank you. Mrs. McHugh, would you please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance this evening?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. McTiernan, would you serve as process guardian for this evening? Thank you. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the monthly board meeting, the Clinton Township Board of Education. Today is Monday, October 26, 2015, and this is our monthly board meeting. Tonight, we have a little bit of a different structure than we normally do. We'll have two presentations, one by Mr. Downey and one from ExxonMobil. Dr. Clark will go into a little bit more detail about that in a few moments. We will then take a break. Actually, it's not a break, but we'll then go into executive session, conduct some business in executive session, have some discussions, and then we will come out of executive session and then continue with our meeting as it normally is organized. So Dr. Clark, would you please introduce our first guest this evening?
Yes.
Thank you.
I would like to introduce Mr. John Downey, who is here to talk about an art grant that he and his family have put together and would like to share with Clinton Township. So Mr. Downey, there's a mic right at the speaker there, if you would like to.
I'd like to start by thanking Dr. Clark for inviting us to tonight's meeting, to the Board of Education, for allowing us to have a couple minutes of your time. I'd like to start by telling you how we arrived here today. In the spring of 2002, my wife Jean and our daughters Caitlin and Samantha moved to Clinton Township. A little less than a year later, Jack joined us as part of our family. And since 9/11, Jean had lost the opportunity at work, so she had another opportunity to stay at home and raise her children. During this time, Jean became very involved in the school district. She did a lot with Girl Scouts. She was the troop leader for both of my daughters. She also participated as classroom mom. She did gallery time in the district. She was very active with the township and the art teachers as well. Being a stay-at-home mom at this point, she tried to earn extra money to help with expenses around the house. She started her own personal business, doing graphic designs for small businesses. She expanded to something that she liked, pen and ink drawings. Unfortunately, in the spring of 2009, Jean was diagnosed with stage 4 breast cancer. Being diagnosed with cancer is tough enough, but when you're diagnosed with stage 4, it's even more difficult, especially when you have three children. And all she wanted to do was get them raised and move on in the world. Months after her diagnosis and initial treatments, Jean had a brief recovery period. Unfortunately, that period was very short-lived. And she basically wound up getting into a cycle of once a year battling some other issue that was caused as a side effect of the cancer. The one incredible thing about her was that she kept fighting back. Every time she took a punch, she absorbed it and moved on. She was really an inspiration to us during that time period. The cancer, it took away the tools of her trade. She loved working with her hands, doing artistic things. At that point in time, she wanted to do something else, and that's when she decided to start an art program out of our house just for children in the neighborhood. She felt if she couldn't create, she wanted to teach children how to create. So she spent a couple of years doing that, working with friends of the children, people in the neighborhood. She really wanted to show children the cathartic benefits of art, that there was much more to it than just making a pretty picture, that it was a way to get away, it was a way to express yourself. One of the amazing things about Jean, and I say one because there was a lot, she was always positive and always looked forward. She never, you know, we knew firsthand of her struggles on a daily basis, but when she was out in public, she always had a smile on her face. She always presented herself and tried to show everybody that she was fine and that she was moving on. Unfortunately, Jean's last smile was on Friday, June 13th, 2014, under full moon, which appropriately was for her because she loved Halloween in the fall. It was her favorite time of year. But even though her earthly vessel was consumed by the cancer, we soon learned that it never took her spirit. We have example after example over the last year and a half that she's still with us, that there's much more to life than just the physical bodies that we're in. And because of that, you know, I firmly believe everything happens for a reason. A great example is our moving to Clinton Township. The support that we had in this township was phenomenal, from top to bottom. It's definitely something that we're very proud of being a part of. Jean was very animate that she was not remembered for her battle with cancer. She wanted people to remember who she was about. So in that spirit, we've created a trust with the hope of giving back to the community. This will be our first grant given this year. We decided on Clinton Township for the obvious reason it's where everything began for us, to begin giving back to the people that gave. You know, we have friends, neighbors, the teachers, administrators throughout the township, people that we didn't know. We had endless amounts of support. It's really a phenomenal thing about this area. We've known other people that, you know, unfortunately have had to deal with similar situations, and the support here, it really is tremendous. So as a small token of our appreciation, we'd like to donate or present this check for $1,970, which is Jean's birth year. That's how we came up with the amount, for the district. All we ask is the money is used to enhance art programs. That's our only goal with this right now. I'd just like to finish up by thanking my family, my mom and dad, my brother, my aunt, my mother-in-law, and Colleen Ray, who's part of the family, and two other people that I invited tonight, Tim Hyland and Allison Hyland. They're the ones that really helped me pull this together. It's a lot to put together on your own during this time frame, so I really appreciate their help in actually making it happen for me. So it's actually pretty exciting for us tonight. So again, thank you for having us, and I hope that you can use the money for something worthwhile.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And the Downey family, I'd like to thank you on behalf of the Board of Education for your incredibly generous donations and the start for this fund. I knew Jean. She was everything and more in your explanation. And this is such a small token in the sense of what she brought to this community, and I mean that in a good way. She just brought smiles to everybody and was just, even in her most difficult times, so this is a wonderful gift for our students, so thank you so much.
Thank you.
And we so appreciate your children being here tonight. Thank you. I have to take a deep breath because it kind of got to me, so. I would next like to introduce our ExxonMobil representative, Anna Kaplan. This is so important to our district. And frankly, it means a great deal to me personally to have this partnership with Exxon. What you probably don't know about me is that I have a baby brother. And he's not such a baby, okay. But to me, he's a baby brother. And he gave me two wonderful nieces. And my youngest niece is a physics major and designing STEM opportunities for students in California right now. And so she and I have shared a lot about the opportunities that we need to provide for girls in our schools, for physics, for engineering, for math, and how important that is. So I am very proud that we have such a great partnership with Exxon, that they have funded many, many programs over the years for our students. We have some great little STEM rooms in our schools now, and hopefully for the future, please listen up, board, this is something I would like us to think about long term, is to take one of those wonderful rooms over at the middle school and create a fabulous graphic design STEM engineering lab. There are some wonderful models around, and Exxon has already offered to help us work on that. And so we have some opportunities for the future that I think we could move on. And so I'm very appreciative of Exxon being here tonight. Thank you. Would you like to speak? And
good evening. And on behalf of ExxonMobil, thank you for having me here tonight. This is a great opportunity. Normally during the day, I get to go to the schools and give out the checks. I call myself the check fairy, which I love my job. I'm the one and only there, so that's great. And really what ExxonMobil does is we believe in STEM. So if you know anything about ExxonMobil besides the oil and gas that we have out there, it's our STEM belief and in our children. From K through 12, we do a lot of STEM programs at schools. We have researchers that are proud of what they do, and they go out to the schools and they help the science teachers with programs. We do hands-on demonstrations. We do a lot of things within our school districts here in Hunterdon County. And one of the things that we also get to do is to work with individually with the teachers at these schools and ask them, you know, we have some funding, what would you like? What do you need for your STEM, for your science classes? So we have opportunities for them to submit grant requests. And so what I get to do is then go and give out the funding for on behalf of those teachers. And those teachers do a great, great job. I'm not a scientist by any means. I grew up in the HR world and now I'm in community relations, but I've learned a lot. Making silly putty is a lot of fun. Watching the kids making the silly putty and other artistic things is great. And one of the joys that I get is to actually watch the kids sit there and just do this stuff with such like excitement. Before, when I used to go to school and I used to have science, I was like, oh God, boring. Because all they made you do was read and do. You never really used your creativity. And today, I could say that the teachers are letting the kids do the creativity and learning from them. And one of the great things that we also support is the Phil Mickelson ExxonMobil Academy, which I attended this past summer, where we had 150 teachers from all over the US attend. And to watch those teachers learn, how do we teach science today so that students are interested in it and stay interested in it? And it was fabulous. I mean, it was a great experience for me, and I wasn't even part of the class. I just sat in there and learned a lot of new things. So on behalf of ExxonMobil, and the things that we want to partner with you, collaborate, and stay in touch. I do have a check here for $1,500. And that will be for your help in your STEM programs as well. And again, I offer, as they always know, that I offer them up for help to come into your school. And as we spoke, to have some of our researchers come in and give you an idea of what your STEM lab should look like. We've done that with some schools already. And they enjoy it. They really, really do. So thank you.
He has a good job tonight.
Ready? Executive session.
Yep.
We're going to move on now to our executive session. Mr. Juskowitz, can you please read the executive session statement, please?
Whereas while the Senator Byron M. Bayer Open Public Meetings Act, NJSA 10:4-6, et sec, requires all meetings of the Clinton Township Board of Education to be held in public, NJSA 10:4-12b sets forth 9 types of matters that may lawfully be discussed in executive session, i.e. without the public being permitted to attend, and whereas the Clinton Township Board of Education has determined that the following issues are permitted by NJSA 10:4-12b to be discussed without the public in attendance and shall be discussed during an executive session. Whereas any material, the disclosure of which constitutes an unwarranted invasion of individual privacy, such as any records, data, reports, recommendations, or other personal materials of any educational, training, social service, medical, health, custodial, child protection, rehabilitation, legal defense, welfare, housing, relocation, insurance, and similar program or institution operated by a public body pertaining to any specific individual admitted to or served by such institution or program, including but not limited to information relative to the individual's personal and family circumstances, and any material pertaining to admission, discharge, treatment, progress, or condition of any individual, unless the individual concerned, or in the case of a minor or incompetent, his guardian shall request in writing that the same be disclosed publicly. The nature of the matter described as specifically as possible without undermining the need for confidentiality is residency, and whereas any matter involving the employment, appointment, termination of employment, terms and conditions of employment, evaluation of the performance, promotion, or disciplining of any specific prospective public office, officer or employee, or current public officer or employee employed or appointed by the public body, unless all individual employees or appointees whose rights could be adversely affected request in writing that such matter or matters be discussed at a public meeting, subject to the balancing of the public's interest and the employee's privacy rights under South Jersey Publishing Company versus the New Jersey Expressway Authority, 124 NJ 478, the employee and nature of the discussion described as specifically as possible without undermining the need for confidentiality are personal related, and whereas the length of the executive session is estimated to be 45 minutes, after which the meeting shall reconvene and proceed with business. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Clinton Township Board of Education will go into executive session for only the above stated reasons. Be it further resolved that the board hereby declares that its discussion of the aforementioned subject will be made public at such time as the reason for confidentiality no longer exists. Action may be taken upon return.
Thank you, Mr. Juskowitz. Mr. Gagliardi?
Yes, if I may, Madam President, I think the motion should be amended to reflect that it involves a student residency matter, hence the individual privacy rights implicated and described by the board secretary, and should also reflect that there will be a second phase of the executive session, namely an opportunity for the board to consult with counsel, thereby implicating the attorney-client privilege. And I ask if they that be amended before placed before the body for a vote.
You have all that? Would you like to say it again?
I put it in the student residency a minute more specific.
And then he said there's a second phase to discuss the situation and consult counsel for attorney privilege. Right here. Okay, with that said, I'm looking for a motion, please.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? We're now in executive session.
It's amazing.
Looking for a motion, please, to reconvene the meeting.
Motion.
Second.
Maria.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Meeting's reconvened. We are going to move on to the report of the business administrator.
Current date of the Board of Education's next meeting is scheduled for Monday, November 16th, 2015 at 7:30 p.m. in the auditorium of the Clinton Township Middle School. That concludes my report.
Thank you, sir. Looking for a motion, please, for 16BA-009 to 16BA-012, please.
Motion.
And second, please.
Second.
Any questions for Mr. Juskowitz? Seeing none, may we have a roll call, please?
Mr. McTiernan.
Yes.
Mrs. Hand.
Yes.
Mr. Malloy.
Yes.
Ms. McHugh.
Yes to all, but I have to abstain BA-009.
Mrs. McLaughlin.
Yes to all, but I'm going to abstain on the executive session 16BA-009.
Mr. Petuto.
Yes.
Mr. Sturgis.
Yes.
Mrs. Grant.
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. I'd like to move on, please, with the report of the superintendent of schools, Dr. Clark.
Yes. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for being so patient. There's a couple of things. The enrollment report is at 1408. We have no suspensions. The HIB report, we have two incidents at Round Valley. Two were unfounded. Spruce Run had one. One was unfounded. Clinton Township Middle School, one. One unfounded, for a total of four incidents, all unfounded. I would like to share a little information about CUSAC, New Jersey CUSAC, which is being finalized tonight. This is the New Jersey Quality Accountability Continuum. Last year, we had a detailed review by the county and state in five areas: governance, personnel, instruction and program, operations, and fiscal management. And we received green standing, meaning we were rated a high performing district. Due to that high rating, each of the consecutive 3 years, there is a little simpler review process in each of these categories. We submit them to the county. The superintendent is still required to review this with the president of the school board, which Mrs. Grant and I did last week. So we also have a very strong score with 100% in all categories. So we are in very good shape. It is quite a detailed report. So I wanted to share that about CUSAC. I also wanted to share with you something that is not quite on the agenda, but has come up over the past week, relating to PARC testing. I'm sure that you're all very much awaiting the results of PARC tests. We did get some indications this week that the state had some concern about how the scores were coming out. I went to a meeting where this was discussed and presented on by Barry Ehrlichson. Barry Ehrlichson is the Assistant Commissioner of Education in the state of New Jersey. She works for David Hespe, who is the commissioner. And she wanted to share some information to kind of all chew on before these park scores come out for the district. They have released state information. So there's some general state information. They have not released specific district information at this time. They will be, they're saying, November, at some point in November. They're starting with high schools first and then the grades subsequently below. But there are some things I thought was important to share with the board and with parents in the community. The thing that the state emphasized to us was park scores will be a new baseline. They are not comparable to New Jersey ASK, all right? It is a completely different test. They told us this before we administered the test, that it was not going to be comparable to ASK. As you know, it was online testing. So they emphasized that it was a totally new baseline. It scored differently than New Jersey ASK. And we'll see different numbers and different information as parents and as districts. They're saying that the next year, not this year's scores, but the following year's scores, they'll have 2 years of scores to look at. That will give us a growth percentile. So parents will be able to see in subsequent years how their students grew in each school year. They're saying that next year we should have a July release because by the time they're being released now, you're talking November sometime, we probably won't have all the data and information to even share with parents till January with the December holidays in between. So I'm expecting probably a January presentation to the public, but it could be after that, depending on when the final release of the scores is. They're saying that next year, 2016, scores will be sure to increase. I don't know if that's good or bad news. But they said they will certainly increase and that we as a district should not really take too much credit for that increase in scores because it will be caused by increased comfort with the administration and taking of the test itself, and that they described it as what they called a sophomore surge. So those of you who are familiar with college grades, the adjustment is in freshman year, and in sophomore year, you have a little surge in grades, hopefully. They did say that the ACT for college entrance is going to be using a PARC platform this year, and that the SATs are piloting a similar version. So for people who are concerned about the future and what this testing means, they did sign, I'm not sure if it was a 3 or 4 year contract. I know, Rachel, you were at one of the meetings, 4 years. They signed a 4 year contract with PARC. So I would expect that we'll have 4 more years of PARC at the very least. And if the ACTs and the SATs are piloting a similar platform, that is going to be the testing format for students of the future. So the good news is that those students who took it this year have a leg up on their experience with online testing. They're also releasing, and I did not see this released, October 23rd, a full version of the test. They're putting different pieces of the test together. so that school districts and parents will be able to see a version of what this test looks like. It is not a specific version of the test. What they're doing is they're taking pieces of different versions of the test and kind of piling them together so to give parents an idea of what the format really looks like and how the grading teachers will be able to see it and be able to see how they approach the grading. So they're supposed to be releasing that soon. It was supposed to be the 23rd. I did not see it yet, but they said to not hold them to exact dates. The old NCLB targets for districts that we used to have to meet different targets will be thrown out. We can totally ignore those. They don't count anymore. For those administrators in the audience, if you were anything like me, you are now whimpering because you look back on the years and months and time we all spent on those target information, analyzing and detailing and presenting, and those are no longer relevant. The families of students who did not participate in PARC will get a mock-up of what the reports would look like. So even though your child may not have taken PARC, you will get a mock-up version of what the information you would have gotten had they taken PARC, what it will actually look like, without real data, of course. But you will get some information about the way that those scores would look for you. It's just the beginning. It's going to be a journey over the next few months, at least. And so I wanted to share that with you so that you would start to be more aware. I'm sure there will be a number of articles that come out. I've already seen a few, shared some with the board, and I'm sure we'll see a lot more as the next days and months progress. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. Clark. I'm looking for a motion, please, on 16-SU-004 to 16-SU-005.
So moved.
Kevin?
Second.
Second, Rachel. Any questions for Dr. Clark?
Yes. Dr. Clark, I feel like when dealing with the state, it's like going to a cardiologist with a twist. And if you have a heart condition, you go to a cardiologist and they give you an EKG. What the cardiologist does is reads the EKG and gives you a report right now and tells you if you have an issue. With the state, you see a cardiologist and we'll see you in a year. Well, by then I may be dead if I have a real issue. So as I look at the PARC and the way the state is handling that, is that a student takes an exam in the April timeframe, and the teacher may get the results of that measure, may get them in Q1 of the next year. So more than half of that year is done. And when I look as a teacher at the results for Jack and Jill, I find out that I'm not on track doing the things I need to do based on the exam. I'm so far along a track, I don't know if I can help Jack and Jill the rest of that year, because all I have yet left is possibly March, April, and May. And April is tied up taking another PARC to tell another teacher a year later, you've got a cardiac problem. What is the state doing? Or is the state giving any direction on how to take an exam, which most organizations can do in a reasonable time frame, and give a reasonable result less than a year away?
Well, the state put out on their website, I thought somebody might ask me that question. The state put out on their website a frequently asked questions document, all right? They are saying that the first year, this year is a transition, that in subsequent years, they will have the results to us much sooner. Because if you remember, One of the issues with New Jersey ESC is that we received very little information way too late. This is supposed to be much more specific information much earlier. It's just the transition year is not the year that we're going to get the information.
Is there anything being done that says a teacher will have that information about Jack and Jill in September, so that when they start their learning plans, their lesson plans, their plans for each individual, that they've got that as they dissolve the school year rather than midway through it? I mean, much earlier, you know, much
earlier. For the following year, the following year's teacher, you mean?
If I take the test in April of 2016, I'd expect that a teacher has those results that for the next year by September of 2016, not in 2017. I don't know if I'm being unrealistic, but I'm looking at if we're trying to help the kids, and it's all about the kids, and I hear the state commissioner saying that all the time, but I'm looking at this measure is not one that, to me, helps the learning process. It's rather an inhibitor, and it's actually going to take you away or off track from having effective learning.
If what the state is telling us is correct, that the following year's results will come sooner in July, then the teacher in September will have access to that data and be able to do something productive with it for that student.
Will they have so that in 2016?
Yeah, that's what they're saying. Yeah.
They're saying that we will.
That's what they're saying.
Let's hold them to that.
Yeah, because I'm saying
any other questions for Dr. Clark? No, seeing none, may we have a roll call, please?
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mrs. Hand?
Yes.
Mrs. McHugh?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mr. Petuto?
Yes.
Mr. Sturgis?
Yeah.
Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. We'll move on now to our public comment section on agenda items only. I'd like to open the floor to our first public comment section. To guarantee the fair and orderly expression of an individual, our bylaw 167 limits comments to 3 minutes. We'll adhere to this bylaw to allow everyone to be heard in a very fair, consistent, and equitable way. Also, the public comment section is only for comments made by the public. It is not an interactive session between the board and the public. This, too, is defined by our bylaw. The board will make note of any questions or comments that a member of the public will make at the microphone. If the Board of Education has an immediate answer to the question or questions, they will be answered at the conclusion of the public comment section. To the extent any other action is warranted, it will be addressed by the Board President or the Superintendent of Schools as appropriate. No one may speak on a topic more than once on the same topic until all others who wish to speak on that topic have been heard. If you'd like to address the Board this evening, please approach a microphone and state your name. And address will be limiting this public comment section to 20 minutes. Seeing none, I'd like to then move on to our first recognition of the public. Same parameters that I just mentioned for the public comment section on agenda items only applies for this section as well. We'll be limiting this public comment section on agenda items for 20 to 20 minutes. If you'd like to address the board, please come up, state your name and address. Yes.
Nicole Fava, 20 Chalfont Drive, Lebanon, New Jersey. I have a third grader and a fourth grader here in Clinton Township, and I'd like to bring to the board's attention that a lot of parents are having concerns with our current math program. Our Go Math program that we're using now is considerably different than the Go Math program that we had last year, and it has very little to do with actual arithmetic and mathematics. The Go Math program that we have is asking these children who don't have a full grasp yet on even their mathematical facts to explain in lengthy answers complicated mathematical concepts and theories, not just doing their math homework. And I really tried to get some photocopies and things together to give to you this evening so that you could check, but they are on the website if anyone is interested to see. They're in our district website. But having the third grade last year and the third grade this year and seeing the questions, there's a demonstrable difference. Every page is asking these children to explain things that they're being spoon-fed as opposed to learning. The atmosphere at the practices and the games between the parents, they're discussing nothing other than Go Math. And it's gotten to the point that they're actually talking about specific problems that they themselves are having a hard time figuring out what the question's asking. Children who were once strong in math are breaking down, crying, and having difficulty in a subject that they were once secure in. And I know I'm standing here as one person, but I am carrying the voice of many, and something really needs to be done. The teachers need some type of supplemental resources to teach these children what we're trying to get across somewhat ineffectively in this new Go Math program. The questions are complicated and they're overwordy, and the words that the parents are using are trick questions. I mean, the parents feel like these are trick questions, and you're talking about 7, 8, and 9-year-old children. The fact that they're asked to explain all of their answers makes the parents also feel like their new math program is less concerned about what the child's learning and understanding and keeping about mathematics, and it feels like they're just teaching them to the test. And I was one of the parents that participated and allowed my child to take the PARC, as I will do again for this coming school year. But we feel that we were promised that it would do no harm. And this current math program is harmful. And it's taken children to a point of losing their self-confidence and their value. And it's a general theme that all of these children are exhibiting and their parents are witnessing. And we as parents trying to essentially teach these children again at home. And I've told you all last year last school year, I'm not a good teacher, and I know that, and that's why I didn't go into teaching. And trying to explain things that you're having questions with so that a child can learn it, keep it, and understand it is very difficult. And our teachers are spending time trying to find different ways on their own time that they can try and make the children grasp and keep this math, which on top of everything else that they're having to do and their curriculum and their SGOs and their preparations, and this is what they're now having to do at night on their own time to try and have these little kids learn. I learned from coming to meetings in April, May, and June that you guys have resources and you're all about allocating your resources, and you're wasting our best resource here in Clinton Township, which is our teachers' ability to know how to teach. They know what to do, and you're stifling them by making them adhere to this monstrous effort for these Go Math questions. And I do hope that everyone would take a few minutes to go and look. I also hope...
Excuse me, Ms. Wilma, I'm sorry, you're over the 3 minutes. Can you just summarize one
sure.
please?
Thank yes, you. And thank you. I hope that this doesn't fall on our principals to try and clean up this mess because they too are a valued resource just like our teachers. I think it's a school district problem. And I hope that everyone really takes a minute to understand what we're asking of these small children and the intellectual thinking, theorizing, and concepts that we're requiring of them. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Would anyone else like to address the board this evening? Okay, seeing none, we'll move on to the reports of our individual committees, please. Up first tonight, as usual, is the report of our Facilities and Finance Committee. Mr. John Petuto is the chair of that committee. Mr. Petuto, can you give your report, please?
Certainly. Good evening, everyone. The Finance and Facilities Committee meeting, the committee met last Monday for a brief meeting, and we have 14 agenda items on our list tonight. Excuse me. The first three, action items 16FF098 through 100, are some usual items that appear, including the approval of payments of bills for the October 2015 time period, and we have requests for staff travel, and also the request for some graduate course approvals. Action items 16FF104 through 106 are the acceptance of grants. We heard two grants earlier this evening, the Gene Benefit Trust grant for the amount of $1,970, and a grant from ExxonMobil for $1,500. There's a third grant that we're accepting tonight in the amount of $5,700 for the NJSIG safety grant. Action item 108 is a contract for professional legal services for the school year 2015 and 16. Action item 109 is we're entering into a contract with School Messenger for additional website services. Action item 110 is a comprehensive maintenance plan program. And 111 is a settlement in the favor of the school district between the school district and one of our families. So with that, I am looking for a motion for the approval of action items 16FF098 through 16FF111.
Looking for a motion, please.
Motion.
Dan, second, please.
Second.
Any questions for Mr. Petuto?
I have a question. Can Dr. Clark just elaborate on 16FF111?
It was a settlement agreement negotiated by attorneys and special education.
Okay. Any other questions? Seeing none, may we have a roll call, please?
Mr. McTiernan.
Yes, on all, abstain from 16-FF-111.
Mrs. Hand?
I need to abstain from FF098 and FF111, and yes to the rest.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Mrs. McHugh?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mr. Petuto?
Yes.
Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Moving on to our second committee report this evening, personnel negotiations. Mr. McTiernan is the chair of that committee. Mr. McTiernan, can you give your committee's report, please, sir?
Yes, we've got 16 items under personnel. We have 16-PN-081 through 16-PN-096. I'd like to draw the attention of the board to two of these items. The others are pretty standard operations. We're hiring some people, aides and the like. We've got a ski trip in there, some normal monthly operations of the school district. On 16-PN-083, we're awarding or approving a stipend for compliance and construction due to some of the licensure experiences that this individual has. Will save us a significant amount of money that we normally spend on contractors. So we're moving that position or those requirements out of the contractor line of budget expense and going to have that done by an employee. Also on action item 16-PN-085, we're asking ourselves to approve the superintendent goals for the 2015 and 2016 school year. These are items that we have discussed in multiple executive sessions during or after board meetings. So with that, I'd like to make a motion that we approved action items 16-PN-081 through 16-PN-096.
Looking for a second, please?
Second.
Mr. Portillo? Any questions for Mr. McTiernan, please? Seeing none, may we have a roll call, please, Mr. Jeskowitz?
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mr. Pituto?
Yes.
Mrs. Hand?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Mrs. McHugh?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Moving on to our final
negotiations. Update on negotiations. It's been a long and arduous 3 years that we're still in the midst of. We came to a second memorandum of agreement with the Clinton Township Education Association May of 2015. We did receive what we would call guides, or the next step in getting to a final agreement where both sides can put the MOA to a vote, in the July timeframe of 2015. And we subsequently submitted a number of questions on August 5th of 2015. 3 months later, which is this past Friday morning, we received a response to one of those three questions and now need to do an analysis with the New Jersey School Boards Association. Unfortunately, at this time, the New Jersey School Boards Association is quite occupied with like work and may not be able to get to those for another week or two. So it is going to take us a little bit of time to get that analysis done, to review that and provide feedback to the CTEA. But hopefully we're within the time frame that we can begin voting processes, I would hope, no later than the end of the year. I would expect our feedback to come on that based on time frames, availability, time to do an appropriate due diligence on the analysis by school boards at or slightly after our next Board of Education meeting on November 16th.
Thank you. Our Policy and Curriculum Committee, led by Ms. McLaughlin. Ms. McLaughlin, can you give your committee's report, please?
Sure. The Policy and Curriculum Committee met on October 12th for a fairly long meeting. We discussed a variety of topics, some of which you will see on the agenda before you. We have second readings for the administration of medication and screening for dyslexia policies. We have several field trips to be approved tonight. The third graders will be going to Waterloo in Stanhope for a social studies field trip. There will be a few trips that are enrichment related trips where a few of the students will be participating in Artline. The second grade will be going to the Raritan Valley Community College Planetarium. The second grade trip, that's a tongue twister, will be going to Merrill Creek to do a science, annual science trip. And the eighth graders will apply their knowledge of physics and learn about coasters at Six Flags. There will also be the Poetry Club with Mrs. Cormican going to Clinton Public School to participate in an activity. We have two contracts for professional development utilizing the Staff Development Workshops Incorporated for a total of 18 workshops. We also have the District Nursing Plan Services Plan up for approval tonight. I also have a park update, but I will save that until I talk about the Hunterdon County School Board Association workshop.
Thank you.
So with that being said, I'm going to move action items 16 PC 11 through 16 PC 16.
Looking for a second, please?
Second.
Any questions for Ms. McLaughlin this evening?
Yes. Did the nursing report come under this medication reporting here? It was with our packet?
I don't know, because I typically get the, I usually get the agenda before you, so that would be a question for Dr. Clark.
Hold on, I'm trying to think of, the nursing services plan is on here, action 16, PCO 16.
When did it come though? Would it have come separate than the board packet, or was it included?
No, it was in the board packet.
It was in the board packet.
It was in the board packet. I sent it separately to curriculum.
Okay. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Is that the one?
The reason I asked the question is that in reviewing that report, it's somewhat alarming the attention that needs to be paid to the students in the school district in regards to medical conditions that are there. Looking at what those nurses put out, every school that we have in this district has a minimum of 40, and some have over 50 kids that have potentially serious medical condition that we really need to be paying attention to, because those conditions are life-threatening were they to occur during the school day. And I just wanted to comment that I think the nurses are doing an outstanding job. And when I look at the work volume that they have, that's this side of unbelievable as far as what they're taking care of and their responsibilities.
When you look at the report, I think it was 16,000 visits. Yep. And that's the visits that are all logged in, because the students log in. I am sure there are a few who come in and out of there that don't make the log, that our nurses take care of for a variety of reasons. It is amazing work that they do.
I imagine the nurses walking around with a defib in one hand and their first out bag in their right hand. That's amazing.
Any other questions or comments for Mrs. McLaughlin? Seeing none, may we have roll call, please?
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mrs. Hand?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Mrs. McHugh?
Yes.
Mr. Petuto?
Yes.
Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you. Moving on to the report of the feasibility of closing school ad hoc committee. We met on October 21st and spent a great deal of time putting together a presentation, taking the data that we've analyzed over the last year or so and putting that into a presentation with the goal of presenting that to the board and to the public in December. We'll meet again in November and continue to work on that presentation. Moving on to old business of our board. This portion of our meeting is for board members to ask questions about old business of the board on school-related matters only. It's not a time to make personal statements. Rather, it's time to review topics that have been previously discussed and bring up old topics relative to the business of the board. I'd like to start, please, with Mr. McTiernan. He's our liaison to the town council. Do you have anything to report this evening, Mr. McTiernan, on the town council?
A little bit. The town council has been very busy, and they spend a lot of time in executive session working on the COAs. So they are looking right now, again, at different properties that are out there, and also some of the areas previously discussed in the village, for example, declaring those areas in need of redevelopment. So that is in process as we speak, and I'm sure there will be an ongoing discussion as we move forward.
Thank you. Ms. McLaughlin is our liaison with the Hunterdon County Board of Education. Ms. McLaughlin, I know you recently just attended.
I did. The Hunterdon County School Boards Association sponsored a workshop on October 7th I attended called PARC, The Next Steps. We received a PowerPoint presentation called Improving Student Learning and Outcomes, Preparing for PARC Data. And as Dr. Clark mentioned, it was given by Barry Erlickson, who his title is the Assistant Commissioner and Chief Performance Officer for the state. So much of the information that I received was similar to what Dr. Clark received. In terms of the board perspective, there were some interesting questions from board members. One was about the sustainability of PARC, which is where the discussion came in about them signing the four-year contract. Dr. Lawrence Feinsod, who is the head of the New Jersey School Boards, executive director, was there, and he said that while he would like to believe that this is sustainable, as we all know from the history of New Jersey, nothing is really sustainable. So one of the things that the New Jersey School Boards is promoting is advocacy of boards. You have the boots on the ground, they said, so you are really the first interaction with parents at this level for interacting with PARC data. So they are starting to talk about advocacy. School boards need to start advocating at the state level. They have produced a fairly short advocacy video that is not available yet online. They're kind of doing a tour of the state. They're going to be presenting the same presentation that I received at every single county in the state. And once the tour is over, they will be putting the advocacy video online. They are asking school board members to start advocating along the lines of looking at unfunded mandates and, you know, all the things that have happened in the last few years with school budgets. In terms of the actual park data, some of the takeaways Dr. Clark mentioned, but one that Dan, you mentioned is, you know, getting the data in a timely manner. So they did say that when the data finally comes out and starting to roll out in November, probably not until December for some districts, we shouldn't rush to judgment and try to fix everything at once, because this is just an initial baseline assessment. And so trying to implement something now for the spring assessment isn't really prudent. We really need to think about park long-term. And so once that second administration occurs in the spring, because it's now computerized, they will anticipate starting to score the assessment as soon as the students start taking it, depending on what their window is. And they anticipate that by June, they will have all the scores in so that they will be able to start releasing them in July of 2016, with the hope that by September, districts would have that information to provide to the teachers. You know, they talked about the sophomore surge that Dr. Clark mentioned, and they really talked about thinking about this as a new test, which is not compatible or comparable to the New Jersey ask. And I've already seen some things on social media where parents are saying, oh, you know, this doesn't compare, you know, let's compare this to ask. But the main message for school boards is to make sure that parents are aware that this is not comparable to ask in any shape or form. It's really comparing apples and oranges, and you can't do that. So I have the PowerPoint if anybody's interested in learning more about the history of PARC. I thought it was an interesting discussion. I think I understood historically the perspective on where it came from and the need to make equality across states. It was interesting to me. I had the opportunity to ask questions. So I asked Barry Erlickson how teachers could become more effective in implementing PARC. And one of the things that she talked about was using professional development to help teachers manage their time, because a lot of time she felt was wasted in schools. So that was her perception, which I found to be interesting. And I also learned recently that she has resigned from her position.
Sounds like a good
thing. So that is my report.
Is there any discussion in the meeting in regards to the PARC as to the measurement criteria for PARC success, which is supposed to measure learning?
I mean, I think, you know, ultimately they're trying to make it a level playing field for everyone. And so there are a lot of discrepancies within that playing field. So I think it's going to take
contract,
a few years
to decide, or what criteria is used to say, yes, go to another 4 years, or no, go to another vehicle.
What I've heard is that they are comparing a lot of the results to SAT scores, right? Because part of the problem, remember, historically, is that, you know, companies are saying that the college graduates are not ready for the workforce. And that pushed down to the high schools saying that the high schools weren't preparing students for college classes, and they were taking too many remedial classes and on a 5 and 6 year plan to graduate from college. And that of course then pushed down to the elementary level. So historically they're trying to compare it more to look at the scores that you would be getting on SATs. And I think they're even upping the level of difficulty there. I think what you heard in terms of the math question tonight is that math program is aligned to the higher standards. Some of those questions are very difficult and challenging for our students. We're seeing that and some concerns with the program on a lower grade level. However, the students who have had the Common Core right from the beginning also seem to be scoring a bit better on PARC. So there seems to be, if you look at a test, and remember, test is only one measurement,
of learning, and it only captures that moment in time. So I don't think it's fair to only utilize that to say students are learning. It's just part of an overall picture. I think we have to have a number of measurements to determine whether we're learning or not. Whether Park stays with us or not, I think is anybody's guess at this point.
Thank you.
Mr. Sturgis is our liaison to ESC.
The representative assembly hasn't met since our last meeting. I have nothing new to report.
Okay, thank you. We'll move on now to the next portion of our meeting, new business. Under this section, like old business, this is not a time to make personal statements. Rather, it's a time to discuss new topics relative to the business of the board. Are there any new topics that members of the Board of Education would like to discuss this evening? No? Okay. Seeing none, I'd like to move on to second recognition of the public. If anyone would like to address the board, please come to the microphone and state your name and address. We're limiting your comments to 3 minutes. Yeah. Okay, we're going to move on to the last portion of the meeting, which is our second executive session for this evening. Mr. Jeskowitz, would you please read the executive session statement?
Whereas while the Senator Byron M. Bayer Open Public Meetings Act NJSA 10:4-6 et sec. requires all meetings of the Clinton Township Board of Education to be held in public, NJSA 10:4-12b sets forth 9 types of matters that may lawfully be discussed in executive session, i.e. without the public being permitted to attend. And whereas the Clinton Township Board of Education has determined that the following issues are permitted by NJSA 10:4-12b to be discussed without the public in attendance and shall be discussed during an executive session. Whereas any collective bargaining agreement or the terms and conditions of which are proposed for inclusion in all collective bargaining agreement, including the negotiation of terms and conditions with employees or representatives of employees of the public body. The collective bargaining contract discussed is between the Clinton Township Board of Education and the Clinton Township Education Association and the Clinton Township Board of Education. And whereas any matter involving the employment, appointment, termination of employment, terms and conditions of employment, evaluation of the performance, promotion, or disciplining of any specific prospective public officer or employee or current public officer or employee employed or appointed by the public body, unless all individual employees or appointees whose rights could be adversely affected request in writing that such matter or matters be discussed at a public meeting, subject to the balancing the public's interest and the employee's privacy rights under South Jersey Publishing Company versus New Jersey Expressway Authority, 124 NJ 478, the employee and nature of the discussion described as specifically as possible without undermining the need for confidentiality is negotiations, and whereas the length of the executive session is estimated to be 30 minutes, after which the meeting shall reconvene and proceed with business. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Clinton Township Board of Education will go into executive session for only the above stated reasons. Be it further resolved that the board hereby declares that its discussion of the aforementioned subject will be made public at such time as the reason for confidentiality no longer exists. Action may be taken upon return.
Thank you, Mr. Jeskowitz. Looking for a motion, please, to go into executive session.
Motion.
Looking for a second, please.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? For any second. Looking for a motion, please, to reconvene the meeting.
Second.
Gina. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Looking for a motion, please, to adjourn this meeting?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Meeting is adjourned. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.